thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into some interesting things and open discuss with possibly friends, family, colleagues, that sort of thing. And tonight, with me, as always, the smart, talented, brave, clean, reverent sister of mine, Kimbra. How you doing, Kim?
I'm doing pretty good. Little discombobulated today, so trying to get my brain going.
I was trying to actually, you know, a little poll of people actually of our pod people would like to know. I'm kind of working on a theme song using AI, but the problem is whenever I enter in my sister's full name, that tells me, oh, it's a violation of celebrity. I'm like, that's her name. She had it before that Australian pop star came out.
Yeah, maybe it's just better to go with Kim instead of Kimbra, because yeah. Unfortunately, my name has been taken away from me, sadly.
Yes, but you were actually Miss Richardson was the first.
Yes, my dad's cousin I was named after. Right. And then I came along, and then that pop singer stole my name. But yeah. Regardless, tonight we have a very special guest, don't we?
Oh, really? Tell me about it.
Yes. We have S.A. Reinhardt, a rebel with a pen and a mystic at heart. She's not just writing stories. She's creating worlds where psychic connections, rock stars, and fiercely independent women clash and fall in love when they least expect it.
Rock stars?
Rock stars.
Okay.
Raised amidst the rugged beauty outside of Las Vegas, Sarah's unapologetic curiosity shattered her conventional upbringing, fueling tales that make you blush, think, and question everything.
Now, question. When you say rock stars, are you talking about Nikki Sixx and Motley Crue, or are we talking about Britney Spears?
We're talking good rock. We're talking like Rammstein.
Oh, you know, like John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band?
Yeah. Anyway.
Are we talking about the Beatles, or are we talking about, you know, Iron Butterfly, that sort of thing, you know?
Yes. Anyway, beyond the page, Sarah's a master crystal healer, certified health coach, and Reiki master. She's twice certified because, well, once is just not enough. Also, her paranormal romances, like Mystical Love, promise to shake up your world with a blend of magic and real-life transformation.
Hmm.
When she is not writing or healing, she's enjoying family time, sipping matcha tea, or rocking out at concerts with her husband. Buckle up. Sarah's just getting started, and you won't want to miss a moment of it. Welcome, S.A. Reinhardt.
Ooh, hello.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
Good awesome. To have you on here.
So, yes, and for those of you who don't know, her friends also call her Sarah. So we'll be referring to her being a friend through the episode. So let's dive in.
Alrighty. So let's go ahead, you know, and go ahead and give us kind of a brief history of, you know, how did you first discover the fact that you actually possessed the powers of Reiki, and what inspired you to become a master?
I was really sick. So, you know, I grew up in a conventional Christian home, like Kimbra said, and I was always questioning, like, is this really it? Is this really it, right? And so I was always a questioner. And when I had kids of my own and I was trying to balance work and my business and my kids, I was experiencing extreme fatigue. And so I would say their prayers at night, but then I would fall asleep mid prayer. And I'm like, there's gotta be more to life than this. I'm always sick. My skin was gray. I just wasn't feeling well. I was in and out of doctor's offices. It was awful. And I knew that eating right and exercising was not all that there was. I was doing meditation every day. I was doing all the things that you're supposed to do, right? And it just didn't seem to be working. My holistic doctor told me about Reiki, and I called the Reiki master that she recommended. And I was really scared at first because I was like, woo, this is energy work. This is kind of scary. You know, I've seen those paranormal shows and it's like, oh, I don't even want to go there, right? But through her wisdom and just her down-to-earth nature, I really felt comfortable with it. And so I said, I will try anything because I just want to feel better again. And so I signed up for a series of healings with her. And as I started feeling better and I started pivoting my business a little bit and taking control of my own life better, and the stress was dissipating a little bit, it was so amazing that I was like, I have to do this for myself every day. But it wasn't until my daughter sprained her ankle and I was in between levels of Reiki. And I was like, well, I only have the Reiki for self-healing. I want the Reiki for my family. And that's all I was gonna do. I was like, okay, as long as I get it for my family, I'm good. By the time I ended up doing my internship, and so many people, I saw so many results with so many people, I was like, okay, I gotta go all the way. I gotta teach people how to do this themselves. And so that's where I'm at. And that's why I do what I do. Cause I love to help people heal themselves.
That is so awesome. Going back about your questioning, that was me growing up. Like I always questioned things and I was never really satisfied with the answers that I was given. Like if we're not supposed to know certain things, and I'm like, why not? That doesn't make sense to me. If I'm questioning it, I'm supposed to get an answer. That's the whole point of questions. So I love that about you, that you were questioning what the world was telling you you should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Took me about 35 years to actually come full circle of what I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What training or certification is required to become a Reiki master? And how did you, Sarah, achieve your qualifications?
So there are the style of Reiki that I am trained in, or one of the styles, is called Usui Holy Fire. And there are four levels to reach master level. And then you have to practice and teach somebody else to become a teacher. So level one is self-healing. Level two is practitioner level. And you have to go through an internship guided by your Reiki teacher to complete that certification. And then you go to level three, which gets a little bit more into the, they call it psychic surgery, and that sounds really scary, but what it is you're able to remove obstructions in people's energy fields. And then level four is basically, it's all of the symbols. I like to explain it like, each level that you go through, you open up and clear out your channel directly to source.
Interesting. Now, for someone unfamiliar with Reiki, how would you describe or explain the practice and the benefits you get from it?
So, can you repeat the question? My son was asking me what to put the oven on to make pancakes.
Not a problem.
Talk about off topic.
Right? 275 at the perfect temperature for pancakes.
For someone who is unfamiliar with Reiki, how would you explain the process and the benefits that they can get from it?
Okay, so the very textbook way to explain Reiki is that it's a Japanese technique to reduce stress and promote healing. The word Reiki is a two-part word, and the word Rei meaning spiritual wisdom, and the word Ki meaning life force energy. So some people call it Chi in the, I believe it's Hindu, it's called Prana, you know, the breath work Prana. So what's cool about Reiki is we call it the laying of hands, like Jesus did. However, we legally are not allowed to lay our hands on anybody because we're not licensed massage therapists, right? So we hover our hands above the person in different spots, and we feel for anything that's like, you know, any kind of intuition that's telling us they need more healing in their shoulder, or they need more healing in their leg, or that, you know, those kinds of things. There are several different psychic senses that the more you go through and practice Reiki, there are psychic senses that get developed with that. So there's clairsentience, claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairaudience, you know, all of those ones. And those actually get heightened the more that you practice it and the higher of levels that you go through. So it is, for the practitioner, a very soothing experience. It can be kind of rough. I do have students that are like, oh my gosh, now I have to rest and go lay down. And it's because we're not doing our own practice. But for the person receiving the Reiki, it's extremely relaxing. It's really gentle, and sometimes they experience their own psychic abilities coming up. Not all the times do they trust it, but it's just a very relaxing process.
Interesting. Now, what do you call somebody? I know this is something that's boggled my mind for a while. I know the audience, the clairs, but what do you call somebody who experiences all the clairs?
I don't really have a name for that. Like, I know all the clairs. So any sense that you could possibly have has a clair sense. It goes on the other side. So I consider it like a line. And you've got, I can smell things. Okay. So I can't, clair olfactory, I think is what it's called, right? So you can smell, say if you can smell roses, and you can like feel the presence of maybe your grandmother who loved roses. Like my grandmother loved roses. And she had rose lotion, she had all the rose stuff, right? So so there's that. But everybody has all the clair senses. It's just some people are more attuned to certain ones. And when we develop the ones that we want to, all the other ones rise. It's kind of like the, what do they say about the boats with the rising tide? The rising tide raises all boats. It's kind of like that with the clair senses too. So I started my Reiki journey with my strongest sense being clairsentience. And at this point in my journey, I am more clairvoyant than clairsentient at this point. So it can change.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I said, somebody with Claire, everything you call Richard.
Well, no,
yeah,
because
there you go, and that can be scary.
Definitely.
Yes, our mother also has all the senses open, and I
but
have
see, again. You know, mom's the name is my name, so
that's there true. You go. This is true. How do you approach energy blockages, and what signs indicate that energy is flowing freely again?
So it's interesting because when you let the Reiki flow through, you are guided. And when you feel blockages, you can go from, if you're scanning somebody's body, you can go from feeling warm to feeling cold spots. That's kind of an indicator. if your hands get really, really cold, it could be that the Reiki is clearing that energy out and releasing that energy. Sometimes your hands will buzz. You'll feel like this buzzing. Or if you've ever put two magnets together to where they're opposing each other, sometimes it'll feel like that in certain spots that have like blockages or things that need to be healed or areas in the aura that need to be healed.
Interesting. I love that that reference to the magnetic energy and the forces. It's almost like no matter how hard you try to get those to come together, they just will not. Mm-hmm. So that's a very interesting analogy.
Now, big question. I know that with Reiki, you're dealing with a lot of positive, negative, semi-medium energies. How does that? How do you basically counteract against that once you've done your Reiki session? I mean, I know you're kind of pulling that energy back and replacing it with positive, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you how do you actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Remove, that's the, I guess the perfect word for it, that negative energy that you have pulled off the client.
Yes, so patient. That's a really good question, and it's completely loaded, right? So
yes.
It's like, woo, that's a big question. So different Reiki practitioners do it differently. So some will wear crystals around their neck, like protective crystals like shungite or black obsidian. That has a tendency to absorb negative energies, anything that could backlash. I work with archangels, and so Archangel Michael is like, he's like the ultimate superhero of archangels, right? And he's very good at clearing energy and cutting energetic cords. Personally, and what I tell my beginner students is when you are doing a session, first of all, there's a whole setup that you do to do a session. You don't just like, yeah, let's start the Reiki here. You clear the room, you charge the room, you get your protective space. And when the Reiki channels through, it's channeling through, the negative energy falls to the floor. I also like to put hematite at the bottom of the Reiki bed, or when I'm doing distant sessions, which doesn't require a Reiki bed or a physical person, I like to clear my energy, protect my energy with Archangel Michael, and also when I'm done, I just ask him to clear again any cords or attachments that have happened that don't serve me, because everything for Reiki is in the highest good. And so negative energy only attaches when your subconscious is allowing it. But when you ask for that help from your guides and things like that, it's a lot easier to do. This is why it's really good to have a mentor when you're doing right. And that, you know, because some people are like, well, I learned it online. It's like, I think you need a mentor. It's a better idea to have a mentor who's empowered than you go all wonky with the Reiki and absorb all these weird negative energies right when you start working on people.
Right. I mean, geez, you could actually go out online and get yourself a registered as a minister and still, you know, just because you say you're a minister is not the same way of being a practitioner of any religion. And exactly. Then, of course, you know, that's I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a very good that's a very good question, because I'm like, yes. And we see a lot of that. I actually come into contact with people who say, oh yeah, I'm totally a Reiki practitioner. Yeah. And I can feel, because I've been doing this for a while now, right? I can feel that they're not in alignment themselves. So I'm very careful who does Reiki on me, or any type of energy work for that matter, because I have my boundaries in place really, really strongly.
What are some, speaking of like negative energy or whatever, what are some common misconceptions that people have about Reiki, and how do you address them?
Ooh, yeah. So Reiki can be scary for some people who were raised in the church. I know I was freaking out about all the things, right? A common misconception is that you cannot have a religion and Reiki because Reiki is anti-religious. It is not. It actually works hand in hand with any religion you choose to be. Another thing that people believe about Reiki that isn't necessarily true is that all energy work is Reiki, and it's not. It's also not meant to mess a person up. I mean, I'm putting giant air quotes on that, right? Because
Right.
some forms of energy work are really evasive, and Reiki is not even the same category, right? It's very gentle. It's not scary. Now, there are some things when you're going through Reiki training, they call it crumbling down the towers. That's a little uncomfortable, to be real. But this is, again, why you have a mentor that you can ask questions and all those things. So I think the common misconceptions with Reiki are not, a lot of people just don't know what it is. Like they're like, but what is it? But what is it? And it's a little difficult to explain. It's something you have to experience, I believe.
Yes. Before I put in an antidote there, I want to ask, can it be done remotely, or do you have to be in
In
the
the
presence
room.
of the person? And how does the, if you can do it remotely, how does it work through being long distance?
Yeah, so you can do it either or, right? It can be done. I think my furthest client ever was 8,000 miles away, somebody in China. The time zone difference is insane, but she did like early morning and I did late at night or something like that, right? But anyway, it can be done remotely. It is something that energy knows no distance or time, right? It's all in the quantum field. And so that's why it can be done remotely. There's a lot to be said about intention, and there's a lot to be said about the practice of it. So, like a lot of people have told me when I do distance sessions that they can feel things. And I think one of the reasons, well, there's a couple reasons why they can feel things. Number one, they're open to the healing, which is actually the most important part of Reiki. You can't just do Reiki on someone, like, I guess, like voodoo, right? Like, I've never practiced voodoo or anything like that, but you can't just say, oh, here's this love potion, Reiki. It doesn't work that way. Reiki works with the intention of both practitioner and client to accept and heal in the highest good. So that's another reason why I like it. I can't just do Reiki on somebody. I have to have permission first. And any Reiki practitioner that says, "Oh, I did Reiki on you without your permission," I would definitely question that, right? In person, sometimes people can feel it a little bit more. And there's different things that we do in person. I do crystal Reiki sessions a lot. So I will place crystals and on their body, and that kind of helps them with their chakras and with their energy field as well. But then channeling the Reiki through, they're like, oh my gosh, I knew exactly where you were, even with my eyes closed. And then distantly, we can still do the crystals, but I don't do that as often as just the pure Reiki. And you can usually feel that too, if you're open to it. Sensitive people, like empathic people, they can usually feel it even through a distance, but it really just depends on the connection between the practitioner and the client.
I know that you did a group session that I was a part of, and we all had to close
How
our
was it?
eyes. I'm sorry?
How was the group session, Kim, as somebody that went through a group session of a Reiki session?
Well, I was just going to tell you, but you interrupted
All right.
me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Like, we all closed our eyes, so we didn't know when she was working on who. But all of a sudden, I just got this feeling, like this, like you were saying, this tingling sensation in my head. It was just like the weirdest feeling I've ever had. And then I got like this warm sensation in my chest area where my heart chakra would be. And then after the session, Sarah explained to me that, you know, she started with my head, and then, you know, that I was very open in my, what is the word for the chakra that's there, Sarah?
Third eye?
Yes, that was very open. But then when she moved into my heart chakra, there was some blockage. So that's when she started working on that. And I felt it very odd that I got those sensations in those areas where at the time she said she was working. So yeah, there's something definitely to it. I have to say that. It was a very interesting feeling with it all.
So it wasn't like an eternal flame that you know, song where you like close your eyes, give me your hand.
Well, we were remote, so I couldn't give her my hand, but okay. I did have to close my eyes, and I did feel that eternal flame going on there.
Right. So how do you see the role of the Reiki practicing evolving in the future of holistic or integrative medicine?
Oh, it's already starting to kind of dip into the holistic. So I see, basically from a bird's eye view, I'm seeing a lot more acceptance of stress reduction and meditation and things like that, and mindfulness in particular, in the corporate world even, not maybe so much down on the, like, get this done level, but like, when there are corporate meetings and things like that, they explain, this is how you take care of yourself. Be mindful, eat well, exercise, and don't forget to meditate. And I'm like, wow, that's different, right? Because I've been in corporate America for a really long time. With Reiki, they are always coming out with different studies that they're doing and how it's helping people. And some people they're finding it's really helping them heal autoimmune diseases and less flare-ups for autoimmune diseases like fibromyalgia. I see it as a part of everyday life as far as stress reduction instead of or in addition to meditation. If we were all just to be trained at least in level one, the self-healing Reiki, we would have a more effective tool to deal with stress and process stress and release all of the stuff that we take on through the day. And I feel like we're getting there. I see it in the circles. It seems like every networking group I'm in, like, we're all Reiki people, you know what I'm saying? So it's really growing in popularity because it really does work. And I think once people experience it for themselves, it'll grow even more.
So do you see it sometime in the future, as a follow-up question, helping along with practical medicine, you know, that your doctor would be actually be a Reiki master as well?
Oh yeah, I'm already seeing that. The holistic doctor that I was referred to, and she refers people to me, like all the things, right? She is an internist. She's an actual medical doctor. She's an internist. She is also a Reiki master. We nicknamed her Hot Hands.
Okay.
Because you can feel it from her. It's really cool. But she would actually integrate it into her practice when she was doing your physical exam and stuff like that. And then she's like, let's try this on your stomach. And so she would float her hands above your stomach and you would feel that. But it's, yeah, I do see Most functional medical practitioners, I do see them bringing it into their practice and using it as part of a tool in their toolbox for holistic healing.
Interesting. How can individuals incorporate Reiki into their daily lives, even if they're not trained?
I think the easiest way is to, well, you can find a Reiki practitioner, you know, to do sessions with you. As a daily practice, I would start with mindfulness because, you know, just being mindful of where the stress is in your life. And one of the tools that I used before Reiki, and my dad taught me this when I was little, is you take your hands and you rub them really fast together and you get that energy going, and then you just place it on somewhere that's not feeling good. Or, you know, if you're nervous about something, you get a nervous stomach, you rub your hands together and you put it there. It's all about intention to begin with. And so I think just being mindful of that is going to be a good start. Although I do recommend going through the full practice for healing, because it's definitely something that we get better at as we practice. And like I said, having a mentor is key. I have a wonderful mentor, right? And I'm always going back to her with different things that I've got questions about. And even though we're both master teachers, and I went on to a different style master teacher training, you know, I still get grounded in, you know, asking her questions. It's good to share information too, because there's not a lot of scientific studies on PubMed, if you will. There's probably only a few. There's thousands of them for meditation, but not yet for Reiki. But I see that coming in the future.
Interesting. Now, do you believe that Reiki can help play a role in the collective healing, like promoting peace or environmental wellness? Like heal the world through Reiki?
Yeah, so that's, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the family of Reiki that I belong to is headed up by a man named William Rand. And he sends out emails to all the Reiki masters and practitioners. And he's like, okay, this is the world peace card, right? So he's got this world peace card, and on a certain day and a certain time, we all send Reiki to the world. And so it's, yeah. So the world peace thing is totally a thing with Reiki masters everywhere.
Interesting. Now, how does that work for those that don't want to accept it, though? Does it just pass them over and go on to the next person?
Pretty much. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it.
Can't drink it.
Yeah.
We do what we can.
Now, what's your vision for the future of your own Reiki practice, or broader the Reiki community?
Oh, I've got big visions for that. So both of my children are Reiki trained. I think everybody needs to train their kids in this, because they're the future.
Teach them well and never let them lose their way.
That's the whole deal, right? That's the whole deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And of course, you know, they're young yet and they want me to do everything for them. So they're like, Mom, you do Reiki on me. I forgot how to do it. But that's why we have mentors to help you keep you on your path, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not our path, it's your path. And we could just help you stay in the bumpers, right? So I think for the future, it's going to be really important for all of us to be Reiki trained or have some type of energy work in our tool belt, because the more tools that we can use, obviously, the better off we are. Years ago, I was a mechanic and I bought a bunch of tools. And if I was missing a tool, I had to buy another tool. And it just made my job easier as a mechanic. So I look at it the same way with Reiki. The more tools that you can have that work for you, the more you're going to be able to pull from. So that's why I'm certified in so many things. Reiki's my base, but I'm certified in so many things because I want those tools in my toolbox. And my goal and my mission is to teach everyone on the planet. That's a big job, I get it. But I am just the drop that makes the ripples, you know? And so I just want to be that drop, and just wherever my ripples are, whether it be, you know, the women in my community or, you know, whoever.
If sometimes I think I should be the stone that skips across the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
Touching everybody, you know.
You totally could be, right?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. But I think that I feel like there are some stones that skip across the lake, but if we just all do our part, we can be part of the fabric or the water, if you will. And yeah, so for me personally, I feel that everybody needs to at least have level one Reiki training, because it's just a really good way to reduce stress that's extremely powerful. And I feel like if we all went to our own practices with that, it would be, the world would be a better place. It starts with us, right? It starts with, if you want world peace, peace starts from within.
Right.
Switching gears, what inspired you to write Mystical Love? Was it a particular event or a moment that sparked the idea?
Yes, and I love this question. I'm so glad you asked. As a Reiki teacher, I was always discovering new ways to help my students, right? How do I make this better? How do I make this, how do I discover new tools of abundance? Essentially, I was meditating one day and doing my self Reiki, and I was like, you know, how do I do like an abundance practice? How do I open up to more abundance, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did this practice. It's a heart opening exercise, and I downloaded basically a method for abundance. And I'm like, cool. And I never teach my students anything. I never teach anybody anything unless I've tried it myself, because I want to make sure that it's safe, that it works, you know, all those things. If it doesn't work, I'm not going to share it, because I don't want to waste anybody's time, seriously. And so for 8 days before the full moon, this is going to sound really, really woo-woo, and I love it. For 8 days before the full moon, I decided every morning to do a heart opening meditation where I literally got out of my head and dipped into my heart and just sat and just asked God, show me abundance. So that was every morning. Then every night I would have cleansed crystals, a certain set. It was red jasper and black tourmaline at the base of my bed with a dream journal right next to me. So when I woke up, I could write whatever I dreamt. Now, red jasper is notorious for dream recall, and that's why I use that. And black tourmaline protects your body while you're, you know, dreaming and having the out-of-body experience, essentially. So I woke up and I was like, oh, okay, this is what I dreamt. It was kind of a cool dream, whatever. I did this for 8 days or 8 nights. And when I read back through the dream journal, I was like, wow, these would make good characters for a short story. Now, keep in mind, I always told everybody, I'm not a writer, I'm a Reiki master. I'm not a writer, I'm a Reiki master, right? And I started typing one day, and I was like, I'm just going to write a quick short story with these characters. Well, 87,000 words later in a month, and I had an entire book, and I wasn't done. I still had more story to tell, but I had to cut it off somewhere because you can't have a 1,000-page book. It's nobody will read it, right? So
unless you're somebody like Stephen King or what is that?
I'm thinking, you know, War and Peace.
Yeah, War and Peace. Yeah. You'll never get through War and Peace.
You'll never get through War and Peace.
But it's such a classic.
This is a lot. This will make you blush more than War and Peace, but hey.
Oh, my.
Right? So I wrote all of this down and on my in my word processor, and I was like, this is an actual like novel. And so I didn't think I was going to do anything with it, but I was like, I think I want to publish this. So I went back and forth and I tried to figure out how to self-publish or if I should publish through a traditional methods. And I landed on self-publishing and I didn't know how to do it. I spent about 8 months trying to figure it out. And then finally I got some actual help with it. This book cover was not designed by me. I gotta say, I have a fantastic graphic designer. He does book covers for a ton of people. Really awesome. And he listens, which I think is really cool, and had it edited and formatted and all the things for me. And then I was like, oh, I can actually publish it. And so that's kind of what happened. This is book one of a series of three. And then I have supplemental books, but the three books are already written, essentially. I'm editing the second book right now to publish this year. So that's kind of how it came about. And it's like, yeah, okay, I went from spiritual teacher to paranormal romance novelist. And it kind of threw me for a loop. And I was like, well, what does this have to do with abundance? And we have to realize that abundance doesn't always equal prosperity per se. Abundance is everything, right? It is your health, your wealth, your happiness, your family, it's more than just money. And so you gotta be careful what you wish for. It's like, open me up to abundance. Well, I did not expect this abundance to happen, but it's been a really healing journey for me. And writing the book itself has helped me with certain guilt and shame around writing this style of book. Because in a traditional Christian home, you do not write things like this. So it's just, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So what does the title Mystical Love signify? And how does it tie into the core of the themes of the book?
So for me, and I didn't know this at the time because, you start something and then you're motivated. It works opposite. You don't get motivation first. But for me, mystical love is more than just like, oh, it's a romance story. A lot of people have weird ties with the word mystical. And in reality, there's love, like, oh, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, to quote Barney. mystical love is like that true deep love that God imparts on the entire world. It's that deep, true love, not lust, not mixed with blended it, what ifs and conditional love. It's unconditional, universal love. And so that's like the whole theme of it, because this book really came from my heart. I would have never been able to think this up. I channeled these entire books, like never would have been able in a million years. I just followed my heart. And so that's what mystical love is all about.
So again, what you're saying is be wary of what you wish for abundance, because it could lead down a wonderful path.
Yes, exactly. A wonderful path.
Who are the characters in these books, if you don't mind me asking? Sure. I'm not asking for the plot. I just want to know who the characters I'd be looking for if I read the book.
Yeah. So there is the practical and pragmatic therapist. Her name is Sabrina. She's very, very much mild and meek. She does have a little bit of a wild side. Her best friend, Pam, is a tattoo artist. And they go to rock concerts together, right? So Pam kind of brings out a little bit more of the personality in Sabrina. Richard is the main male character, and he is the rock star. He does right. what he
not,
wants.
Not to be confused with me.
Yeah, not to be confused with you. His name is Richard Wolf. So, and he is the rock star that he follows his heart and his adventure. but you know, that hasn't always paid the bills. So he is practical. He's a very intelligent guy, and he does do work. He does work regular people work. Giant air quotes, right? So he's not totally wild and crazy, but he does have a dark past that you get to discover in the book. And then there is Brian, who is also a supporting character, and he is someone who shows up kind of at the same time as Richard in the book, and he is meant to complete the two couples, basically. And so they have adventures together, and they're like a giant family.
Okay, so it's not a love triangle between Richard and Brian.
No, not until the third book. No, just kidding. You never know what's going to be in that third book. But there's other characters that come in too. One of the most influential characters, even though he is a supporting character, his name is Douglas, and he is the spiritual teacher. So he's the one that helps Richard and Sabrina navigate through these psychic experiences that they're having. And I base a lot of my YouTube teachings on what Douglas does, because essentially Douglas is me if I were, you know, a middle-aged man. So
okay.
There's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Middle-aged man, you take all the wonderful things about women and just strip the emotion out of it.
No. Douglas is not emotionless. He's actually quite the character. I love Douglas. He's got to be my favorite character aside from Richard. Richard is cool. Very much, not all of it, but very much based on how my husband kind of deals with things. So I'm definitely in love with Richard because he is my husband, essentially.
Right.
Yes. Now, aside from your knowledge of Reiki and crystals, was there any other particular research that you needed to do to incorporate into the mystical or spiritual elements of the book?
Now, notice she does the air quotes.
I love air quotes. The mystical side of it. So in Reiki, we basically learn auras and chakras. I added the crystals because I have 30 years of crystal healing experience. But there is a lot of psychic development in the book and teachings through that. And that's not necessarily part of Reiki. That is something that I developed as a separate thing for people who are looking for a little more answers, I guess, if you will. The psychic development side of my business was strictly for my Reiki students because they wanted more. And I was like, okay, I will deliver. So there is that part of it as a tool that, you know, that I have learned a lot about just through experience. But other than that, there's not too many other tools that I utilize in the book. But in our groups, I'm finding a need for EFT tapping, and I'm certified in that as well. And because sometimes we get so stressed out that we need to do something physically to break that dysregulation pattern. And so I like to teach people that as like a sidebar, because it's kind of like a triage thing. Do you remember the show MASH? Like, I'm sure we all do.
Hello, yes.
Same generation, right? It's like, so you know how they do triage and all that stuff. Well, I feel like not only can Reiki be a tool for triage, but when somebody's really freaking out and they like anxiety for one is a huge thing. EFT tapping is really important. So I teach it like I used to teach it to children, but I'm teaching it now to adults that way because it just makes so much more sense and it's so much quicker than the traditional ways that people teach tapping. So I'm kind of down that rabbit hole now.
Gotta love those rabbit holes.
I know.
Yes.
Just ask Alice.
Exactly. I'm all for like getting smaller and being able to check getting out larger. The world. Getting
larger. She went through several rabbit holes.
Yes. Several rabbit holes.
Yes. I remember going down a tangent, wanting to be able to shrink down so I could wear my Barbie's clothes.
There you go.
Because Barbie had some of the coolest, prettiest clothes. And so I just wanted to shrink down to wear her size.
Yeah. That's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is what comes to my mind when I think of shrinking down. You know, it's like, ooh, that'd be cool. But then it wouldn't be cool to see like big bugs like
Well, I think of that, I think it was in the 70s. It was a movie with Lily Tomlin called The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
That was like 79, 80.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I always think of. And I think it was around that time we saw that movie, and that's when I kind of got the idea about wanting to shrink down to Barbie size.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So what do you hope readers will take away from Mystical Love? Is there any particular message or feeling that you want to leave them with?
I hope it's a good, I hope that you want them to accept that the fact of it is a good book, worth reading, you know, 4 stars. Please make a movie out of it.
Yes. Oh, and that's another thing. I always pictured this as a movie, and I'm like, I know exactly what songs I would put in the movie. I know exactly who I'd hire as an actor, like all the things, right? But no, I mean, the basis of Mystical Love is essentially, if you are that hardworking, overworking, overthinking person, that you take the time to take care of yourself, because burnout is a real thing. And prior to this whole Mystical Love journey that I went on, that's part of my mission, is helping to prevent and cure burnout, because it's a real thing. And I went through it several times, and it's not fun and it's not healthy. And Sabrina does it to herself several times in the book, but that's where Richard comes in and tells her, you know, hey, can I just see you? I mean, there's dynamics there too, but it's a healthy balance between masculine and feminine energies, basically. The healed masculine and the healed feminine. Not like how a lot of times we see it today, where the guy's always trying to give the woman advice to slow down, be quiet, da-da-da-da, whatever, you know it is. Men want to fix things. I get it. That's a thing, right? But they also have to create space for their women to just feel heard and seen and felt, and just a space for them just to be, because it's not all about fixing our problems, right? And at the same time, women would benefit from taking better care of themselves and not trying to people please so much. So that's the overlying message, is allowing people their own space to grow and heal, and they can grow and heal together.
That is awesome.
And it's very much, you know, where can we find this book? Is it on Amazon, Lulu, bookstores where any great book would be found, independent?
Yeah, well, so you can find it online. It's on barnesandnoble.com. And then also I sell it on Amazon, which is in Kindle, paperback, and hardcover. And it's on audiobook if you don't want to read through all that and you like to drive and listen for entertainment purposes. So I have it on audiobook exclusively on my website, sareinhart.com.
Awesome. Okay. So you don't have it part of Audible yet?
No, I do not. I opted to have it just on my website as a download for people because I don't know. I just wanted to do it that way. It's read by me, right? So I don't do all the voices. Like sometimes I like to make up little voices and stuff like that, if you've ever seen my Instagram feed. It was quite an accomplishment for me to do an audiobook, because I do, I am challenged with a little bit of dyslexia, so reading out loud was one of the scariest things I've ever done. But because I love this story so much myself, it was really easy to read it and get through it. I don't even know how many gallons of water that I drank with all that talking and reading. But yeah, so I like it for download, and people can keep it on. They don't have to have the Audible subscription or whatever. They can just download it on their iPods or whatever, and just offline. They don't have to be attached to the internet. They can go out camping if they want to go and listen while they're hiking. They don't have to have like the cell tower. So I just wanted to make it super accessible that way.
You did mention Instagram. What other places we can actually, our fans, get a hold of S.A. Reinhart?
Yes, so I am on Instagram, sa.reinhart_author. And then on Facebook with the same name, author S.A. Reinhart. So you can find me there. Also, I have like friends, followers under my real name. So
we won't release that.
Yeah, we're not going to release my real name. But yeah, so I do post all of my stuff, my author journey, teasers from the book, teasers from the audiobook, motivational Mondays I do sometimes, and then obviously my YouTube channel, which is at Mystical Love. It's like youtube.com/mysticallove. So that's where I do most of my teachings, which are short videos. And I take something from the book and I teach you about it. And then you are welcome to ask me questions in the comment, and I reply to all of them.
All righty. Well, we do appreciate you coming on here and talking with us. Again, forgive us of our ADHD and our, interrupting you. I do apologize,
Oh, yeah, you're in good company. Neurodiverse people.
Yes. So, brother, where can people find us?
They can find us at skepticpsychic.com. They can also find us on Facebook, as well as Apple Podcast or any other type of podcast services. We do actually pray wonderfully, exceptionally, to give us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 stars.
Yes, we do like 5 stars, but we'll take wherever you give us. We also
and
ask
tell us exactly what we're doing. 5 stars and tell us you suck, man.
Yes, tell us, please leave a review. Keep it nice. If we suck, say we suck, but leave us some constructive criticism. Also, we're on YouTube. If you're watching us, make sure you like and subscribe and click the notification so you know when we have new episodes up. Let us know in the comments what you think of Reiki, and I will leave a link to all of Sarah's different socials as well on this. Any final thoughts before we head out for tonight?
I highly recommend reading S.A. Reinhart's book, even though I haven't read it. It just sounds like it's fascinating to me, and I have to find a copy of it.
Totally. And I just want to say thank you for having me on here.
Oh,
this was super fun, and I love it. You guys are so awesome.
thank you. We enjoyed having you on here as well,
Yes. Yes, we definitely thank you so much. You're a wonderful friend. I'm so glad that you've come into my life, and wish you all the best in this book and your future books. And with that, we say sweet dreams, everybody.
Unpleasant nightmares. Good night.
Good night, everybody.